we're looking at frequencies in a way that I've never seen them before. Mm-hmm. And this morning we were talking about when frequencies begin to happen in our body, it's because your body is always assessing the electromagnetic field that we're in. And that electromagnetic field is a biofield. Why is it bio? It's two. It's dual. It's actually double dual, because electric has positive and negative, and magnetic has a north and south. Mm-hmm. And so you're looking at a four. Mm-hmm. Four is the fourth letter of the alphabet, and it's dalit. It means doorway, and it also means humility, because humility is the doorway. And if you look at a door, it actually has two corners at the top, two corners at the bottom, so there's a four. But there's also another set of four in it, if you look at least twice. Because on this side of the door, there's a four. And on the other side of the door, there's a four. And a doorway is what you must go through in order to enter into a different dimension. And so we live in a frequency of dimensions. When those two dimensions touch, and when the two within the dimension touches, it changes everything. It changes everything that exists. And we know that when either a positive or negative influence happens in a biomagnetic field, it changes every atom in the room. And we'll do something real simple to explain that, because it sounds like so far out there when you just use it and you don't give examples. But if I was to turn the temperature down in this room and I made it 32 degrees, is there anything in this room that wouldn't be affected by it? Mm-mm. No. That's how simple it is. Or if I turn the temperature up to 99 degrees, everything in the room would change. Some things wouldn't stay cold because it was 32 degrees a moment ago and now it's 99 degrees. No, every atom in the room is affected. Likewise, your heart literally is where eternity is. Your heart is a pathway or a dimension or a place where you can't measure things. Can you measure love? Could you like give me 4 ounces of love? Mm-hmm. How about, you know, a half a pound of kindness? How about 4 slices of self-control? See, you can't do that, can you? Because it's something that's not measurable. Negative is not measurable. Now, the cycles of it can be measured. Mm-hmm. When you look at a gamma wave or a theta wave or any of the waves, if you look at music, it's going to come in rhythm and wave. A rhythm is a cycle of something. So if we take that now, we take that same information we just discussed it, and let's bring it into relationships. Mm-hmm. Because that which we can see reveals that which is unseen. Now, years ago, you couldn't see gamma waves. You couldn't see light waves. You couldn't see, except for the rainbow, right? That was the only wave that man was allowed to look at, unless you're talking about ocean waves, you know, or ripples on water. You could feel the heartbeat. You could hear sound. But we didn't have the science behind waves that we do now. So because we can look at the biomagnetic field in a different format, that opens our understanding to something in a different dimension we couldn't see before, and we can explain. And that's what I'm doing. So me and Michael were talking this morning about what happens when you walk into a room or when someone else walks into a room. And his explanation was, what if there's just somebody who's just creepy? What is that? Well, when something creeps, what does it do? Does it move fast? Slow. No, it moves slow. Well, you're very aware of it.
It's more perceptible.
It's slow. That's
more dense.
Okay, so for podcast sake, what Nancy said was it's more perceptible because it's more dense. The slower that something moves, the easier it is to see. If I was to move my hand really, 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 really fast, it would look like it disappears. Okay? But if I slow my hand down, you can see it. It's the same thing. you can feel something more intently the slower that frequency is. So that's why you feel fear. You feel the frequency of fear. Now, here's the deception. Here's where we miss the mark when it comes to the feelings of fear. Fear, we know, scientifically moves very, very slow. We also know that compassion, gratitude, joy, love moves very, very fast. So if you could see in a wave love versus fear, you would see a very, very fast wave of love and a very, very slow wave of fear. What happens is because we can't perceive or see or comprehend, or we haven't been exercised, according to Hebrews, we haven't exercised our senses, we think that this fast frequency is the fear. Why? Because we can see fear, we can't see love. You can see darkness, you can see shadow, you can see the absence of something. It's very difficult to see the presence of light. Why? Because light is moving so fast. You have to slow it down in order to perceive it. Or if you bend light, you can perceive it. Well, one of the words for God or to give, that's the word gemel, it means to bend light. That means charity. It's also seen in the letter Aleph, where God, which is power, revealed in a yud, manifest through the Vav, which is man, bent low into earth, which is humility. That's the first letter of the alphabet, Aleph. So God manifesting by bending down and manifesting himself through the tent or the tabernacle by hooking himself inside of a man. That's the letter Aleph. That's the beginning. And in the beginning, the earth was without form and it was void. It was dark. And there was no form. There was no measurement. There was no confinement. There were no borders. So God said, let there be life, and I'll embellish, on earth. Let there be light on earth. Well, in order for light to manifest in the darkness, it has to bend. What that means is God is humble. He's all powerful, but he's meek and he's humble and he's lowly. Isn't that what Christ is? Isn't that a description of him? So in God's love, he bent himself. He bowed himself. He yielded himself. He slowed down himself. If something, you know, if something, in order for it to manifest, it must descend. Well, guess what a wave does? A wave descends. And the lower it descends, the slower it could be to come back up because of the time it takes to make that cycle. So when people walk into a room, and we perceive the slow frequency of fear, or there's an absence of I am loved, and maybe that absence is going to become, it's going to come forth in thievery. Well, that means I fear that I'm not being taken care of, and I think there's lack in my life, so I'm going to rob you. You can feel that frequency. Maybe there's a frequency that walks in the room that says women are not valued because I'm not valued, and I don't value women, and that might come across as feeling creepy because that man might look you up and down in a creepy way. And you don't know why you feel creepy, you just feel creepy. Because that's a slow creeping frequency that has no value. Why? Because the absence of the knowledge of love or the absence of the knowledge of God is present. The absence is present. Make sense?
It does.
Okay. So when you feel that creepy, crawly, slow frequency, the opposite of that frequency has to be present, or you couldn't see it. You couldn't feel it. You couldn't be aware of it. But because...
Well, I have to interject. I can't help but think what you just said this morning about what you've been feeling. All
come sit over here so the podcast can hear that, because otherwise, if we post this, they won't be able to hear. So is it something you can share?
Well, just that she was feeling empty, and like nothing really mattered, but it's that void that like that slowed down, it's empty, but that I just that, said so, that you're probably
and emptiness,
about to be filled.
Exactly. Emptiness literally means a place to be filled. And you become very, very aware of the emptiness. Now what happens in any time that slow frequency is manifesting, the opposite, the polar must be there. It must show up. It must manifest. Why? Because without an opposite, you can't see. That's why God created the evening and the morning. That's why He created the heavens and the earth. He created the night and the day. Those things that were created are created to show that God is love. Now, the way that it's manifested in the Torah is in the word Bereshit, or Bereshit, however you say it. It starts with a B and it ends with a T. It's the word, B is the number 2, and T is the number 400. So what did I tell you the fullness of a 2 is a while ago? 4. Okay. So whenever you put 2 and 2 together, you get 4. So what does Bereshit mean? It means in the beginning, in the duality, in the letter B, in the number 2, in 2, in opposites, in duality, in woe, in war. Why am I saying all those things? Because they mean the same thing. In the two, in duality, God created all things. Why? To show that He is good. To show His goodness. God created it so that the fullness of His goodness could be seen. Why? Because without duality, you couldn't see it. That's the whole purpose of evil, which means suffering, which means darkness, which means inability to see that God is love. Why? Because in the presence of the fullness of God's love, it's such a fast frequency, you can't see it. You can't see mercy unless there's a reason to be merciful. You can't see the fullness of God's love unless there's an enemy. Why? Because you'll know you've passed from death unto life when you love the brethren. If you look up that word, it means all. You love all, including enemy. And God said, be ye perfect, be ye complete. See perfectly that God reigns on the just and the unjust. And He says, now you do that. Well, then you try and do it and you can't. You can't just choose to love. You can't choose to love the ones you love. I have people every day, 450 people a year approximately, and many of them desire to love their mom, love their dad, love their spouse, love their children, love their sister, love their brother, and they're stuck in unforgiveness. No matter how many years they've tried to forgive. Why? Because there's an absence that they're focused on that they can see, because that's a slowed down frequency. And the presence they can't see. Here's why. This is the mystery that God has been revealing in the last few days. When something's moving very, very fast, you can't perceive it. You can't see it, which is love, light, truth, move very fast. So when the painful stuff comes into being, comes into our presence, and we're now, our radar's picked up on that frequency that's slow, like fear or fear of lack or fear of rejection or fear that I won't be approved of, there also then begins to be this high frequency that happens in our body, which most people call anxiety, or they call panic. They'll call that fear. Well, that's not really the fear. That's really the opposite of the fear that is that now present. Why? Because duality exists. Duality exists. You can't perceive it unless it's been revealed to you. Why? Because we're blind. We are darkness. We are evil. If you who are evil are able to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, which means lover of her, will give unto His children the Holy Spirit, those who ask? He said, you're evil, and you know that if your son asks for bread, you don't give him a stone. You are evil, and you, if your son asked for a fish, you wouldn't give him a snake. But yet you think I did. Right? That's what he's saying. So when this slow frequency shows up and we begin to tremble, we think trembling is fear. It's the opposite of it, which is the other side of the spectrum. It's so that you can see the two, but we haven't seen this yet. So let me tell you what we've done in psychology and in Christianity and probably in a lot of other places as well. We've done this. Oh, you're having a painful feeling that makes you feel fearful because of your thoughts. Renew your thought and the pain of the fear will go away. But then you have to manage that every day. You don't walk in peace. You don't enter into peace. You become a manager of your emotions. You become anger management, fear management. That is a slave. You now are a slave to managing your emotions. Rather than, I am loved. I am one with love, and I have no fear. White Horse just came to me this week, and so I began to study it, and it came to me through an earthquake in White Horse, Canada. And there was also an earthquake in Skagway, Alaska. And they were 2 hours and 44 minutes apart, distance-wise, that was written in the article. So I began to study all that. The word white horse means, let's break it apart. White means without chromo, without chromosome, without light, without grit, without sand, without dust, without the gnashing of teeth. It means without fear. It means fearless. That's what white means. You know what wolf means? Whitish. Not quite white. The appearance of white.
Oh, wow.
So white means fearless. Horse means equine, equal, even, twin. So literally, white horse means fearless twin. Mm. So what does that mean? My sister, my twin.
It's
what he calls her in Song of Solomon. When Abraham was about to sacrifice Isaac, he found a ram in the bush that God provided. I always wondered, why ram? Why not a lamb? If Jesus is the lamb, why was there a ram in the bush? That didn't make sense to me. Until God gave me a dream of Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, on the exact day that the book of Zechariah begins. What's the odds of that happening, right? I have it in a dream. I wake up. I read the book of Zechariah. And it's the exact day that the book of Zechariah starts on. And I'm reading it. And as I read it, I'm getting a lot of revelation. But I come to a place where I'm like, what does this mean? It's called the mystery of the flying roll. There was a roll flying in this vision. I'm like, a roll?
Like a squirrel?
Like, no, a roll, like as in bread. Like, there's a place in Louisiana called Landry's, and they throw rolls there. Landry, something lands. So I was like, how can a fly, what the heck would a flying roll? Who throws bread? Manifold comes down from heaven, but what does that mean? So I began to ask. I looked and looked and couldn't find anything. I'm in Montana, sitting at a restaurant called Montana Club, and I look up and there's a male ram, full body, mount, right above my eyes, and it's like I'm looking at the underside of a ram. I'm like, okay, this is not really pretty, but all right, God, thank you for the ram. So I'm going, okay, what does ram mean? Me and Michael are having this conversation, so I look up in my Hebrew what ram means. It means to roll together the twin.
Oh my God.
I said, no way.
So God shows you a roll?
God shows me what the roll means. So it means a twin. So then I began studying the word twin and the word two, which God had been showing me for over a year now, giving me the revelation of the two shall become one. And, you know, and for this reason, a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Jesus left heaven to come to earth to cleave unto his wife. He was looking for his twin. He came to call his twin. Rachel, the second daughter of Laban that marries Jacob, her name means female lamb.
Wow.
It's U,
right.
E-W-E. She was given a handmaiden to help her whose name means to tremble. Now, if you look at Laban, Laban means to stomp bricks. To stomp bricks means to make one's self white. It's the same as whitish. It's a wolf. It's a deception. You can't make yourself white. Okay, so that's what his name means. When Jacob, who means tricked by sorrow and suffering, it means heel catcher. So if you look up heel catcher, it means to be caught by the heel. To be caught by the heel means to be tricked by sorrow and suffering. Where did Satan bruise woman? On the heel. What will she do? She'll crush his head with what? Her heel. The very thing that tricked her will crush the enemy's head. We're in Flathead Valley, right? All these different things that are happening. Montana means grace lifted up high so you could see it. So Jacob works 7 years, which means seven is the promised daughter of oath. So he had an oath with Laban. I'll work 7 years and you give me Rachel. But he tricks him. See, his name means trickery. By what? Sorrow and suffering. So he gets tricked and has to marry Leah, whose name means grief, sorrow, suffering, and weary. Isn't that phenomenal?
Crazy.
So now, why stomping bricks, births to be tricked by sorrow and suffering, and she's given a handmaiden to help her. That handmaiden means myrrh or bitterness. So when you eat the bitterness, you receive the bitterness, it does some things for your body spiritually that bitterness does in the natural body. Well, bile is what gives you bitterness, or what is bitterness in the body. It comes from the gallbladder. What did they give Jesus to drink on the cross? Gall. Excuse me. So the deception that we can make ourselves white marries us to the law, where we have sorrow and suffering and grief, and we become weary and tired, and now that is bitter, and that bitterness, we have to experience that for 7 years or until we're able to rest in it, so we no longer wrestle with it. Well, that's where we are. That's what's happening. I'm able to teach you how to not wrestle with sorrow and suffering and bitterness, and how to rest in it. Why? Because in 7 years, or whenever you can rest in Leah, you can now marry Rachel. So he works seven more years. He gets Rachel, which means you or female lamb. It means the twin. It also means one who travels well, one who can follow. That's what it means. So Jesus was the lamb. Rachel's the lamb. We are to be the lamb, the female lamb. It's the marriage supper of the lamb. So, to supper means to eat. To marriage means to be joined. So, after Jacob gets Rachel, she can't bear children. Mm-hmm. Right? Until she has her helper, which means to tremble. Which is what Michael and I were talking about. That when we equate fear with the trembling that we fear in our gut, we run from it. Because we don't understand that that trembling is what's going to set us free. So how does the trembling set us free? I'm going to show you. When you are growing up and you have a bunch of facts, and during those facts, your body trembled because love was present, but it was moving so fast you couldn't see it. You then equated those bad events with the trembling. So your calculation says, this is fear. And I'm fear when I'm not loved. No, you feel fear when you can't see that you're loved. Mm-hmm. Even though love was moving so fast, it was right there the whole time. Mm-hmm. So your calculation became solid in your brain and your heart and your heart brain. And so the only way to change that solid material that's now a neonet is we must melt it. The Bible says in the last days, their hearts will melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. That's what's happening. We're gonna melt like wax. So now we're gonna embrace trembling, and we're gonna give our trembling to our husband. That's what Rachel did. She gave trembling to her husband, and she said, "God has remembered."
And never again give the enemy credit.
That's right.
Trembling.
The enemy never gets credit again. We understand that trembling is not what we thought it was. So it's like this. Think of your past memory like a pot. And the water in that pot has been solid, like ice. And now you want to melt that old way of thinking like wax. So you put the ice cube or the memory in this form, and you're going to turn the fire up. Well, the fire is a very high frequency. Mm-hmm. And so when we put that fire on, which is truth, which is light, which is love, it's going to begin to melt the ice, which also is the same as pruning the branch. You're going to cut the branch off that's in your brain, and it's in your heart, and it's going to be thrown into this fire. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be burned up. It's going to melt like wax, or it's going to become ashes, and God's going to give you beauty for the ashes. So what happens is this form or the pot that you think things happen, this mold that this idea of life is now held in, we're going to submit it to the frequency that we used to call fear, that we now understand is not fear. It's the opposite of fear that just happened to show up because it has to show up because everything is in duality. And it's a trembling presence that you can't see. We're going to trust what we can't see. Why? Because you can't see God. Can't see it. So it's going to tremble. It's going to melt that idea. It's going to melt the lie. When it melts it, it's going to not only melt it, but it's going to actually expand it, and it's going to go, it's going to become a vapor. Life is but a vapor. It's going to become a vapor. When it's a vapor, you can now deposit the rest of the story, the truth, the sprout, the fullness of truth is now going to go in, and you're going to see that God was good all along. And when that deduces and that calculates in your brain, that which used to be heavy now becomes light and visible. Mm-hmm. You can see the mist. Mm-hmm. You can see the cloud. Where is he going to be? In a great cloud of witnesses. The cloud is going to be seen. And you are now the white horse that he's riding on. What is the white? Fearless twin. You're going to see that you're his twin.
See who you are.
You're going to see who you are. You're going to see where you suffered rejection like he did. You're going to see where you suffered betrayal like he did. You're going to see where you suffered, oh my God, why have you forsaken me? Just like he did. You're going to see where you asked for something to drink like water and you were given gall. You're going to see where you were tricked by your sorrow and suffering. You're going to see that you're his twin. That is the marriage. And you will no longer be afraid of it. You will be a fearless twin. That's where truth is going to ride in on. So what we're going to do when we go into your session this morning, we're going to ask God to manifest himself in trembling and remove the veil. Remove the covering. Why do we have the covering? It's grace. If that light is so heavy, it's so fast, it's so powerful, it trembles us. And if he doesn't remove the veil, you won't be able to experience that trembling because you'll perceive it as fear. So I'm teaching you the truth now so that when that trembling happens, when the veil is taken off, when the shadow is removed so that you can see the fullness of God's light, you won't see it with your eyeballs. It's so bright, your eyes will probably close. It'll be so heavy and so weighty, you may not be able to breathe very well. That's okay. You're being acclimated. You're being acclimated. You're being transformed in the very twinkling of an eye. And when that happens, fear literally melts like wax. And the dark and the light become one, which is what you need in order to see. You cannot see without the presence of both. And that which used to overtake you now becomes a vapor. And you rest. Everyone gets up and they say, I feel so light. I don't understand it. It was so heavy before. Now I feel so light. Because fear is heavy. It's a slow frequency. It's matter. It's almost in the form of matter. That's why what you fear will overtake you. That's why what you fear will manifest. Because the slower the frequency, that it manifests in matter. The faster the frequency, it's a vapor. You can't hold on to it. You can't wrap your hands around it. You can't wrap your brain around it. Why? Because God can't be contained. You can't contain God. He's omnipotent. Do you know just between the number 0 and the number 1, it's infinite? And there's 9 numbers, right? So if it's infinite between 0 and 1, what makes you think you can wrap your brain around God? You can't. However, the heart can experience beyond space and time. Your heart can experience this frequency that's so grand that it is eternity. That's where the kingdom of God is. It says in Ecclesiastes that eternity is in the heart of a man. Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. So the brain is 100 times less capable to handle electric energy than the heart. The brain is 5,000 times less capable of handling the frequency of magnetism. So we're gonna stay out of the brain. The brain, how do you do that? Just let it think. It'll think, but we can think without resistance. Your brain's going to have all kinds of thoughts. If you try to resist it, they'll get more. Why? Because resistance is fear. And when you fear whatever the thought is, it begins to solidify. So simply not resisting and say, yeah, I hear that. Yep. Just let it flow. Just like the log in the river. The river don't go, oh my gosh, how dare that log float in me? Let me get rid of that log. No, it just carries the log with it. So what? It's there. It's dance, but it floats. It can't stop the river. Right? A dam will stop the river, but a log's not going to stop the river. And if the river gets big enough, it'll bust the dam. So just let the river flow. That's what we're going to do. This message is expanding your thought process so that when the high frequency begins to manifest in your body, your brain will go, oh, this is just the opposite of fear. This is love. This is trembling that was given to me to help me manifest as a twin. Wah. And that frequency begins to vibrate inside your belly. It begins to feel like butterflies. And then it begins to feel like essence. And then that essence will spread throughout your entire body. And when you enter into that full essence, your body, God will only allow the veil to be removed for the amount of energy that you can handle. Mm-hmm. He won't put on you more than you can handle. So that's what happened to Enoch. Enoch could handle a lot of energy. Even talking about this, my hands are vibrating. Yeah. My hands have so much energy flowing out of them. Why? My heart's excited about it.
Yeah.
It resonates with truth. Yeah.
My soles of my feet. Yeah. My hands are.
You absolutely, if you just, it, when there's zero resistance, it'll manifest more and more and more and more. The first time I experienced the manifestation of this trembling, a man by the name of Georgian Vanoff had come to our church. And he was playing a fiddle, and he touched my belly, and he asked for the fire of God. Well, the fire of God began to be so intense. It was like, man, I wish I could put it out somewhere, but I don't want to put it out. Let me die if I have to. I don't want to ever lose this. And miracles and signs and wonders began to happen even that day. Deaf ears opened. Another time, I can't remember the man's name. I think his name was Anevil, came to our church, and he... I don't know. He spoke Spanish and someone had to translate for him. But that's whenever my hands begin to spin like opposite whirlwinds. And one of the words for God is a whirlwind. And my body went crippled and I was numb in my ear and numb in my nose and I couldn't move and I'm on the floor and I'm trembling. And I'm like, what, God, what is this? And he said, I'll let go. I'm like, no, give me more. I don't care if it killed me. I didn't care if I floated to heaven right then. It didn't matter. But what happened was he said, heal the cripple. Well, that day, the paraplegic's body healed and everywhere that my body went crippled. He came in blowing in a straw. And exactly where my body manifested healing is exactly where he healed. When the power hit me the second time and it went in my legs, and God told me to heal him, I obeyed what I was afraid of rather than hearing God intelligently. And I laid on the floor begging them to let me touch him. And the man left with his upper body healed, but his legs never healed. And I bore the healing in my body, but fear of man, fear of failure, fear of not being obedient, fear of being judged, fear of whatever, I obeyed man and not God. And that's okay. That was meant to happen. It wasn't like I messed up. No, God was teaching me. God was teaching me that I could respect and honor my brothers and sisters in Christ. But when God speaks something to me, I don't have to obey man. And I don't need to run it past man to see if I heard God. God said, you'll have no need of a teacher, for the Holy Ghost will teach you all things. And you'll know you've passed from death unto life when you have love for your brethren. Well, I now know that I love enemies. I love them. I don't mean to. I'm not actually, even when I try not to.
I really don't.
I mean at times to hate them. Uh-huh. I mean it. I in my intent, which I've already done it because my intent was there. But God delivers me from my own hatred supernaturally, and I can't explain it, even while I'm begging him to let me hate. Because he said, when you abide in me, you will not sin. And I've experienced that, even when I was trying really hard.
I remember that one.
So, yeah. So it's like, God, I've already done it in my heart, so you know I'm guilty, so let me do it. Let me have the satisfaction of it. And by the time my enemy would get to me, I'd be melted like wax. I was just like, I'm undone. That's what it means to not sin.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean I choose not to sin, therefore I don't sin. You choose not to sin, put a law on you.
How's that working for you?
The minute you put law on yourself or anyone, what's going to happen is the power of sin is the law. So put law on yourself, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to sin. We'll stop the podcast here.